is our number
two. It's time for the fastest 15 minutes in the news. This is Dory's Fastest 15.
Note to self, update the hour number two echoes.
Coming to you from the Carter Subaru Studio, it's a world of news. In a tidy little 15-minute package just for you. Welcome to our Fastest 15. And, Nicole, it's time for a few new hour number two echoes, don't you think?
Oh, sure. Yeah, that's a good idea.
Yeah. Could you spearhead that for us? Can I make you?
Sure.
I'm going to assign you as our hour number two echo czar.
Okay.
Which
sure
means, if you're anything like Kamala, you don't have to do anything. You can just let it get worse and worse and worse.
I don't even got to show up to the studio. Sweet.
No. You don't have to do a thing. Don't have to lift a finger. All right. Let's get into the Fastest 15 here. And we do have an update on the triple murder that we talked about at that Des Moines sports pub over the weekend called La Familia. And originally, we had been told that it was a beef that started inside the sports pub. But now they got surveillance video, and it looks like the whole thing erupted in the parking lot where there were, they said 200 people. It didn't look like 200 people to me. But there were a lot of people in this parking lot. And as I mentioned yesterday, one of the owners of the sports pub, ironically, is on Dow Constantine's committee to search for a new King County sheriff, and the organization that he's a part of, according to the King County website, is over-policed. Well, maybe we could use a few more cops down there, because this was horribly tragic. And again, think about the three lives lost. Channel 4, ComoNews.com, they talked to Selena Taylor. Her 26-year-old son was killed in that parking lot shooting this weekend.
I still can't breathe. I'm still not breathing because that was my heir.
He was her heir. It's just so incredibly sad. And she says that her son was a good young man.
He was a great, great young man. He was amazing. He was amazing.
And the police say that this kid, no, he's not a kid, 26 years old, kid to me. They say he was indeed just a bystander. He wasn't involved.
I can't even hold him.
And the bar owner says they do not support the violence. Well, of course they don't.
And we just wanted the people to know that we're not promoting violence inside of La Familia. It happened outside, which we don't have any control over.
And the mom does not wish this on anyone.
As a parent that loses a child, I never wish this on nobody. Nobody.
Now, I cannot say much about this yet, but the Dory Monson Show has gotten a tip on who may be the primary suspect in this shooting. And if it is, and we have a pretty good source, if it is who we believe it is, there's going to be a lot of hell to pay from our politicians. Okay? That's all I can say right now. But we are keeping a very close eye on this. Up next in the Fast 15, I don't understand this. Nicole, they suspended the plastic bag ban in Washington State. They suspended it because of COVID, right?
At least, I didn't even...
Oh, in my city.
I don't remember that.
Yeah. Well, my city passed a plastic bag ban, and then they said, since COVID, we don't want people bringing in their E. coli-filled cloth bags. So, yeah, I know COVID's why they suspended it where I live. But so I don't understand this at all. The plastic bag ban is back on here in Washington State. And as I've said many, many, many times, they say, well, we're doing it for the environment. That's not really how it's playing out here. Because what it means is, because they've delayed it for 15 months because of COVID, And they said that, so now the new thing is either no bag at all, or you have to bring in your own reusable bag. But if you use a store bag of paper, plastic band, paper store bag, it'll cost you 8 cents. And so all this money, they're going to use it to hire more people at six figures to administer this program, and they're going to send little snitches out to various grocery stores to see, are they really charging people the 8 cents? They're not sneaking them a bag, are they? They don't have any surreptitious plastic bags at the checkout line, do they? And so now it's going to go back in. But here's the thing. I know it was suspended where I live because of COVID. And there have been tests after tests after tests that people don't wash their cloth recyclable grocery bags nearly as often as they should. And if you put a package of meat in there and it's got the blood on the bottom and the blood gets into the cloth and then you get E. coli and then your family gets sick, this is the stupidest ban ever. And I'll tell you what. We contribute almost zero as a state to, and look, there are these islands of plastic in the ocean, and it is shameful and it's horrible, but it's not our fault. We contribute statistically zero to that in Washington State. It's such a tiny fraction of 1%. And that's because, in particularly, China and India, they routinely just throw their garbage in their rivers. And 8 of the top 10 polluting rivers on planet Earth flow through China and India. And all the plastic, all the garbage they throw in, that ends up in the ocean. And that makes up 98% of all the plastic and garbage in our oceans. But in our state, gotta tax the people. Got to collect millions, 8 cents at a time. Takes a lot of bags to get millions, 8 cents at a time. But that's what they're working on right now in our state. So Jay Inslee signed it into law. I just don't understand how in COVID they're putting this in place right now. Is COVID over? Maybe I missed something. Is COVID over? Did we solve that? Did we cure it? Is it like polio? Just a bygone memory of a distant past. It's ridiculous. All right, next up in the Fastest 15. A couple of stories. Jay Inslee, you heard at the top of the hour, he's ready to fire about 19,000 state workers. Because we just got the stats, about 30% of the state workforce is still unvaccinated. And 30% makes up about 19,000 workers. Now, what's going to happen? Is Jay Inslee, when the hospitals tell us they are still dealing with pretty full, although hospitalizations are down from COVID, as I told you last hour, but the hospitals still say that they're overwhelmed. We have a shortage of cops as it is. Is Jay Inslee really going to fire 19,000 nurses and cops and firefighters and workers for all his state agencies? Are the workers really going to give up good-paying jobs because they don't want the vaccine? Who's going to blink first? Because putting 19,000 people out of work with one swipe of his pen, and Jay Inslee doesn't care. He does not care about any individuals. That is quite clear because he's not running for re-election. So put 19,000 out of work. I don't care. This is my third and final term, and I just started it. Won't cost me a thing. Yeah, but it'll cost these families mightily. So who's going to blink first? As you have no doubt heard, at Washington State University, their football coach, Nick Rolovich, he is still unvaccinated. And he has not said why. He just said, I will abide by the mandate, which presumably means he was seeking a religious or medical exemption. But every religious and medical exemption at our colleges and universities for kids has been turned down. There's an editorial in the Seattle Times, and I think it's ridiculous. As you know, as a devoted listener to this show, I'm pro-vaccine. I'm vaccinated. All the stats indicate that it'd be a good idea for you to be vaccinated if you're not, because it does lower your chance of getting seriously ill or dying if you get COVID, which a bunch of people still are. I think it'd be a good idea for you. How insane would it be for me to say, you must be vaccinated? But that's what government's doing. And it's so backwards. It's completely backwards. But government is one thing. Why does the Seattle Times think it has a right to tell people what to do with their bodies? Headline, WSU coaches' disgraceful vaccine refusal must end. It's an editorial, and it talks about how he hasn't told the public why he's not vaccinated. Either way, WSU president should explain why he has tolerated this foolish behavior for so long. You know what? I know a bunch of people who are not vaccinated, and they're not fools. They're really bright, accomplished people. I don't hate somebody because they're unvaccinated, but it's not my job to tell other people what to do with their bodies. My body, my choice, right? Wrong. This is 2021. Your body. Jay Inslee's choice. And then the editorial goes on and on. Rolovich, an educated person with a master's degree, has apparently not wavered. He has tried to hide in plain sight, ducking follow-up questions. A simple trip to a vaccine clinic or drugstore could end this spiral of shoddy leadership. Instead, Rolovich has coached and conducted interviews from a distance, willingly exposing himself and his university to national ridicule. Is that how we should live our lives now? If Twitter ridicules you for something, you should go against your own guiding principles and beliefs. Yeah. Oh, we don't want to get Twitter angry at us, do we? It just goes on and on. If Rolovich wants to turn away, the team should be in more trustworthy hands, because this coach has shrugged so often at the responsibilities that come with a high-profile position. The president of the university, the AD, must hold him accountable. Immediately, this sorry spectacle has played out too long already. Seattle Times, hate to tell you this. Not your job to tell other people how to live their lives. You can make recommendations. I've made recommendations. Everything I can tell, vaccine's a good idea. I recommend it. Even though, you know, I had problems with it, but I've told you those problems. But I always adapt based on data. I'm the data daddy. And it looks like a good idea to me. But it's your choice. It's your body. Seattle Times. Butt out. Next up. In the Fastest 15, you know, I am an art skeptic. There's some cool art. And if there's something, my wife and I have seen things in galleries, you know, that are not horribly expensive, but, you know, kind of pricey, that we just loved. And we both loved it, and we agreed on it. And we have it hanging in our house. I'm not anti-art. I just think a lot of art is pretentious garbage. And I think that public art, when we have to give tax dollars so people can put fountains on the west high rise of the 520 bridge, not realizing that the spray from the fountains would blow over the bridge and cause massive traffic jams, and the fountains had to be turned off within 30 days. This is a couple decades ago. Because they were a disaster that cost taxpayers a fortune. But let me tell you about an artist, and I'm trying to decide if I like this guy or not. A Danish art museum, they determined that the median salary in Denmark is $84,000. And so this museum, the Kunsten Museum, they had a great idea. Let's give an artist $84,000 in cash, and then they can incorporate that cash into a piece of artwork that'll represent the median income in Denmark. So they did. They gave it to Jens Hanning. And he said, yeah, I'll borrow that money and I'll replicate, because they had the earlier work where they did this, that same sort of thing. And so Jens Hanning got the $84,000, and I'm converting it. For you Danes, it's actually 534,000 kroner. But he got all that money to incorporate it into a piece of artwork. You know what he sent to the museum? Looks like an absolutely blank framed dry erase board. And he told them, yeah, I stole the money. The name of my art is Take the Money and Run. which is high concept art, in my view. So he has said, because they know who he is, he's taking the money, he admits that he's taking it. But he says, no, that's my art. They told me to put it in a piece of art any way I choose, and I'm giving them a blank white board. And I'm taking the money. Take the money and run. He's declining to, let's see, Kunsten, that's the museum, wants Hanning, that's the artist, to return the cash. But he's declining. And the museum is now considering whether to report Hanning to the police. We will keep you posted on this Danish drama. That is your Fastest 15.
This has been the Fastest 15 Minutes in the News. Fast Dory's Fastest 15.
Give us 15 minutes, we will give you the world. All right, still to come, we talked last hour about Joe Biden. Oh, Dave Wyman generally joins us on Tuesdays. He still will, but it's going to be in the 1:45 segment because he's kind of busy right now. But coming up next, we told you last hour how this morning was the most disastrous for the Biden administration. In fact, if we had any kind of a press corps, it would be finito for the Biden administration. But we'll do a little compare and contrast here. Coming up next on the Dory Monson Show. And Aaron, I've talked about this a lot, but something struck me in your newscast. It's something I just love. I know how rare that is.
Wow.
But the woman who, and she did plead guilty with the blowtorch, the makeshift aerosol can blowtorch.
Turned cans into blowtorches, yeah.
But she pleaded guilty. So whatever sentence is probably part of that plea deal, but
yeah,
it's a minimum of 5 years.
Minimum five up to 20 is what the prosecuting attorneys say.
See, I love, and that's because this is a federal charge, right?
Yep, indeed. Arson, yeah.
I guarantee you in Seattle and King County courts, it's a slap on the wrist. But man, I have said many, many times, when you get federal charges, they do not mess around. And our U.S. Attorney's Office here is a law and order office. And I love that about them.
There you go.
And another one, remember the guy who tried to barricade the cops inside the East Precinct and then the Molotov cocktail? He got fed charges. Mm-hmm. And I know that he was going to get 5 to 10 years. I don't know if he's been sentenced or if he's had a plea deal or what?
Can't remember that either, Dory. Yeah, but I know this case today. Yeah, the woman admits, she's 26 years old from Tacoma, admits that she burned 5 police vehicles during that. I mean, you remember that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, very
that
well.
Was wild last May.
Yeah, we were on the air that Saturday night
for
that.
That's right.
Yeah, okay, that's correct. But I love the U.S. Attorney's Office around here. It's a rare bright spot of law and order in a desolate sea of injustice. How about that?
That's one way to put it.
That's the end. Yeah. Okay. Dave Wyman will join us in the next quarter hour here. There's other things in the... I got to talk to Dave about the Mariners. I've just kind of missed this whole Mariner run. And now they're in the playoff race in the last few days of the season, and everybody's just really worried about the Seahawks. And we'll talk to Dave about all of that coming up in the next quarter hour. It'll be an abbreviated two-song game of Name That Artist, too. But there were a couple of sports stories that caught our eye. Now, we've been talking about the vaccine a lot and about it's a personal choice and how I don't think poorly of people who are unvaccinated. I just don't. They make their own choice. And if they choose to, if it's true, if the stats are true, that puts you at greater risk if you get sick, well, it's your decision too. It's your life. But I don't hate people who are unvaccinated. A lot of people do. A lot of people, their vaccination is their virtue signal to the world. And we'll talk about this in the Big Lead at 2. People are buying necklaces now with the word vaxxed across it so everybody can see just how wonderful you are. An NBA player, Jonathan Isaac, he's with the Orlando Magic. And I will say, if I was a 20-something physical specimen, like almost every NBA player is, and I know that my risk of getting even sick from COVID and certainly of getting seriously ill is minuscule, tiny. I might not get it if I were an NBA player. So this guy, Jonathan Isaac, he talked about, and I wanted you to hear this because it's pretty compelling from the point of view that is not very popular these days.
What is it about the vaccine that makes you hesitant to get it?
I would start with I've had COVID in the past, and so our understanding of antibodies, of natural immunity has changed a great deal from the onset of the pandemic, and is still evolving. I understand that the vaccine would help if you catch COVID, and you'll be able to have less symptoms from contracting it. But with me having COVID in the past and having antibodies, with my current age group and physical fitness level, it's not necessarily a fear of mine. Taking the vaccine, like I said, it would decrease my chances of having a severe reaction, but it does open me up to the, albeit rare chance, but the possibility of having an adverse reaction to the vaccine itself. I don't believe that being unvaccinated means infected, or being vaccinated means uninfected. You can still catch COVID with or without having the vaccine. I would say, honestly, the craziness of it all in terms of not being able to say that it should be everybody's fair choice without being demeaned or talked crazy to doesn't make one comfortable to do what said person is telling them to do. I would say that's a couple of the reasons that, I would say I'm hesitant at this time, but at the end of the day, I don't feel that it is, anyone's reason to come out and say, well, this is why or this is not why. It should just be their decision. And, loving your neighbors, not just loving those that agree with you or look like you or move in the same way that you do. It's loving those who don't.
Holy moly, that was wonderful. And I didn't have a chance to preview it. Nicole, you told me that was going to give me goosebumps, and it did.
Right? I thought it was so well put.
He's not a denier. I mean, everything he said, he's not relying on internet lies. He is just factual and straightforward and talking about loving people that you disagree with. And I'm serious. In Jay Inslee, Joe Biden's world, if they could extend their power to private industry, private businesses, he'd get fired. This kid would get fired from his job as an NBA player if Jay Inslee and Joe Biden had even more power. And let's face it, Jay Inslee's power comes from an executive emergency order that's lasted for nearly 2 years now. Yeah, it's an emergency for 2 years. But that was good. And then there's this tennis star. He's kind of a star still. He was number 25 in the world, and he made the quarterfinals at the Olympics a couple of months ago. And his name's Jeremy Chardy. I've heard of him. And he says that his season's over and he's even thinking about retiring because he got the vaccine. He said when he got the vaccine, he did it in good faith, but he got exhausted at practice for weeks and weeks and weeks. And then he tried playing in the U.S. Open and he lost in the first round. And he says, because I couldn't train, I'm still exhausted. He says he can't believe that this body that was, you know, wonderful, that elevated him to 25th in the world in a very athletic sport. And people underrate how athletic tennis is. Those guys are monsters. And this guy says that his career might be over, and he said he's just had such a severe reaction. I don't know if it's true. I don't know if that's so. All I know is that I have no reason not to take his word for that. And if other people hear that and say, you know, I hear it, I still got vaccinated. If other people hear it and say, eh, I don't want to. I'm 25 years old. I'm healthy. Peak physical fitness. I'm not worried. Fired! Get out of here! We hate you! Okay, let me take a quick time out. Dave Wyman's going to join us. Got a lot to talk to him about. That is coming up next here on the Dory Monson Show. Van Halen? Guess not. Dave, you should know this one.
Yeah, I should. I recognize the band and the voice. The style.
Poison!
That's another no, Dory.
Just Motley Crue.
That is also incorrect, Dave.
Okay. Time's up. Who is it?
This is Tease Me, Please Me by the Scorpions.
That's the Scorps. Oh, man, I'm ashamed.
Wait a second. You call them the Scorps?
Did I?
Were you some kind of groupie?
No, I'm like, I just flashed back to the feathered hair 1982 version of myself.
Did you ever have really long hair?
Not really long. Yeah, actually, when I was at Stanford 1 year, my brother and I have curly hair, believe it or not. Yeah. So when I grow it out, it's, yeah, that's disturbing information.
My hair was shoulder length my senior year in high school.
Was it?
Yeah, it was a good look. Yeah. Believe me. Okay, Dave Wyman is here. You hear him every afternoon, 710 ESPN Seattle. I have to admit, Dave, I kind of have missed this whole Mariners thing.
Oh.
Because I'm so buried in doing the show and so enthused about doing the show, I've kind of put sports on the back burner. But they're in the race with just a few games to go.
I know. I'll tell you, I have to credit my co-host, Bob, of kind of sucking me in to, like, because I was like, we can't live and die by these guys every night. Well, we're living and dying by them every night. We're sitting there going, oh, man, we got five games left now. You know, next Monday we'll be talking about the last game unless they make the playoffs somehow. But they are so much fun to watch. And today we interviewed Aaron Goldsmith, who I just think is hilarious. He does a great job on the call, him and Mike Blowers. And, he was talking about how many moments there have been with this team and just didn't expect them to be where they are. What are they, 87-20 now? So, yeah, I think I predicted 86 wins, and I was on the high side. Everybody else was thinking, look, it's going to be an average team. It's going to be a losing team probably, but that's not what this season's about.
Right.
And they're in it.
Yeah. Why isn't it just caught on yet, though? I don't know what the attendance was last night.
I know, but I was trying to find it.
Yeah, I couldn't find it in box scores. It used to always be in box scores.
That's what I thought, too.
But their average attendance is 13,800. Wow. Which is, you know, bottom third in all of baseball.
Because last night I was kind of surprised. I mean, I was looking around the ball. I went to the game last night. I'm going to the game tonight. So I was up in one of the suites with my budget blinds guys. And, you know, I was, you know, what's wrong?
I don't know. I just thought it was great you got a plug-in like that.
Oh, yeah, I guess I did.
Yeah.
Yeah, my guy
I enjoyed
Emmett.
That.
Yeah, he's my blinds guy, Emmett. So anyway, I was looking around the ballpark and I'm going, what is there, like maybe 4,000? When they're spread out, it's so hard to tell. But I, you know, there's probably seven or eight, but it didn't feel like there was that many. But It's just such a cool team to watch. And they have, you know, there's a guy named Paul Sewald that they brought up with the two young guys way back in like April. Right. And he was 30 years old, and, you know, and he's like the MVP of the team. He's really? The best.
I'll pay attention to this last week.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's a good idea.
Well, it's so weird for me because I used to go to every single home game because I'd stand on the dugout and do highlights of other major league games at the end of the seventh inning. And after going to every game for about 3 years back in the, you know, Kingdome and then first year at Safeco, I guess I burned out on it. But it's cool. I love what you're telling me. And then we got the Seahawks. I used to do a little work with them, too.
I remember that.
So, what's going on? I mean, 1-2, and I'm hearing all kinds of panic.
I don't know what to say, man. I mean, look, the offense, they're trying to find their way, and that's okay. But what I'm worried about is the defense, because they're giving up 440 yards a game, and they're dead last. And it's not just about yards. The other thing is they're just not taking the ball away. So, yeah, it's weird what's going on defense. And they're making, like, some of the most basic mistakes. You know, it's not complicated. It's like, you know, when you're in a zone, you're supposed to make sure the guy behind you doesn't catch the ball, not the guy in front of you. Mm-hmm. I'll just say that. And then when you jump the guy in front of you and the ball goes sailing over your head, typically you get fired. You know, you'll get sat down for that. Right. So, but that's happened a number of times. So, yeah, I had a coach that would just be like, "What? Are you kidding me?" I mean, that's such a basic rule that, you know, that you're seeing violated on a weekly basis right now. So,
yeah.
They weren't bad the first week, but
is it fixable with the people they have now?
I guess. I mean, I don't know, man. I don't know. Something has to change. Like, and like I said, it shouldn't matter who you are. If you're not doing your job and you're screwing things up, it doesn't matter how much money you make, right, or you should be sat down. And, you know, but, you know, I have to say that, like, last week, almost everybody had, you know, mistakes one way or the other. And, you know, and actually in this case, I feel sorry for the corners, because everybody's all over the corners because it's very visible, you know, when they get beat and everything. But there's so much more that goes into it. So I don't know what to say. I said, they're giving up 440 yards per game. It's number 32 in the 32 wow. team NFL.
Well, and the other thing I've noticed is after the first game, there were all these columns and articles about the new offensive coordinator, and he showed why he's such a great hire. And then the last two games, it's you can't get any points in the second half, and you just whiplashed back and forth of emotion every game in the NFL.
Dory, are you saying that people are overreacting?
Yeah, a little
that's
bit.
Ridiculous. I not at all. No. And that's why I said in the offense, you know, look, they're still trying to find their way. I get it. I think, you know, I wonder if they'll rethink preseason next year, you know, because they didn't – none of the starters played.
That's a good point.
You know, and they felt like, you know, they had enough. And look, Patrick Mahomes and Kyler Murray, those guys played in the preseason. You know,
Brock thinks this is the last year with Russell and Pete together.
Yeah, I've heard that too. I just can't imagine that. No, I don't agree with that, but I can't imagine. They just had such a great relationship. It was a very weird little passive aggressive thing going on last week, you know, where Pete said one thing and Russ said the other. But look, we're not down there. We're not seeing. I can't imagine that Pete and Russ are not only at odds and in a fight, but they're fighting via the media.
Yeah.
You know, there's just no way. That doesn't happen. I don't think a relationship deteriorates that quickly. And I think a lot of this stuff is coming from people that aren't around there.
Right.
All the time. So,
yeah.
You know, if you're, well, and Brock, I mean, he's in Denver, you know. I know Brock's been popping off quite a bit since he moved to Denver.
All right, Brady, hit it. This will decide it.
Rush, Spirit of Radio.
Boom, boom, boom. Thank you. My dad will be very happy about that. This is his favorite band.
Dory's going to protest because he knows that I love Rush.
Yeah, Rush is supposed to be banned. The band is banned.
All right, I got
because
a, I
that's
got a last
Wyman's
one.
Favorite band. No, he got it fair and square.
We got a tight
Are you sure? I got a quick one.
Yeah, no, let's have it.
Okay, well, yeah, go.
Rick Springfield.
No. Nope. Adams, Brian Adams.
Bing, 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 Dory. Nice. You got it.
Okay. That was after nice the clock expired. Dave wins. All right, you can hear Dave every afternoon, 710 ESPN Seattle. Thanks, Dave. Appreciate
okay,
it.
Thanks.
Okay, Big Lead of Two is coming up next.